In the early years of the 1900s, my father's family owned ranch land, horses, cattle, and gold mines. They lived in the Sierra Madre region of Durango, Mexico. The Mexican Revolution was just beginning. These gold mines and my family's wealth helped fund the revolution, a long and bloody 10-year civil war that overthrew a dictator, established the separation between church and state in Mexico's government, and changed the country's land ownership policies. My father, Ricardo León, passed away in 2013, believing he was 103 years old. It may be true. According to family lore, he was born between 1909 and 1919. He couldn't say for certain. His mother, Lola, insisted it was 1909. His older sister, Victoria, said 1914. And my dad said he was born in 1919, not realizing that would leave him much younger than 103. Back then, in the Sierra Madre of Durango, Mexico, his parents would have had to wait until they were visiting the closest city to register a child and receive a birth certificate. Ricardo was born in a tiny village named Cebollitas, Small Onions, far up in the mountains above a small town named Canelas, Cinnamon, Durango. His own education ended with the third grade. When he died, my father was the last of his generation. He took many family stories with him. He had rarely talked about his life. He was a guarded, private, machista man. Though he cared in his own contradictory ways, he trusted no one. Some of our family legends endured, however, and have come down to me. The Sierra Madre in Durango was a very dangerous place, especially at that time. Trips down the mountains and into the city were few and far between. My paternal grandfather, Roberto León Vizcarra, was a very tall Mexican of Basque descent from northern Spain. He, his brothers, and his cousins were all high-ranking revolutionary soldiers who fought alongside Pancho Villa. One of my grandpa's cousins was a general named Domingo Arrieta León. These men passed down their strong sense of machismo to my father. Rewind. It's 1983. I am 9 years old. We each had our own garbage bag, but no gloves. We hit the tourist areas of Shelter Island, Mission Beach, Seaport Village, La Jolla, fishing piers, and public parks in San Diego in pursuit of aluminum cans. How my mom and dad made this fun, I do not know, but they did. White people would walk by, stare, and sometimes make derisive comments under their breath, such as, "That's disgusting. They should just go back to Mexico." Or, "I can't believe these parents are encouraging that vile behavior." I didn't pay them any mind. To me, this was family time. While out collecting cans, we didn't fight. My brother wouldn't be picking on me. My dad wouldn't be criticizing me for not being like my older brother or belittling my mom as an excuse to go hook up with one of his many mistresses. On these trips, I felt like I belonged in this family, and I was proud that I was contributing to our income. As each garbage bag filled, my septuagenarian, semi-bald, gray-haired dad would carry it to our tiny blue beat-up 70s pickup and bring us back a fresh bag. Sometimes my mom would help him, but he often preferred to do this himself. My dad was very machista like that. He often refused physical help from women. My brother and I, meanwhile, ran from trash can to trash can laughing. We peered under picnic tables as if we were looking for Easter eggs. Some cans still had beer or soda in them, so we'd empty them, the liquid splashing around our feet. We had no hand sanitizer back then. To speed up the process and avoid having to do the work later, I dropped each empty can onto the ground, then stomped on it, first crushing the middle part, and then stepping on each side to flatten the whole can like an envelope.